He looked and he saw his dad, John Hancock, on a brand new 15-year contract. So that would like, they go, well, you're not leaving. You leave, that's a breach of contract, and you're going to owe us $7.6 billion.
Because only the dust survived. That's the reason you ain't in it. And this punk holding the camera reading he ain't in it. Reading these rednecks out here ain't in it. Because it's a tough business.
Terrific.
What, is that all you got?
I'll ask you the standard question. You know?
Standard question.
I think this is fake.
You think it's fake?
What's that? Is that fake?
Huh? What the hell's wrong with you? That's open hand slap, huh?
Welcome to the Fourth Opinion Show.
You have made a huge mistake. And if I ever see you in person, I am telling you on camera, please don't edit this out. I will rip you from limb to limb for destroying my reputation in your phony book full of lies, calling me a somebody who just wants to gain attention to themselves and a has-been. That's all I have to say about this, Jericho.
Hello, everyone. Hello, and sorry we're running a little late. Had a computer issue here. So, yeah, sorry about that. So, if you're currently listening to the show now, tell your friend, tell everybody to get on into the chat room. Just get on in, jump right in, and don't even worry about anything. I tell you, ladies and gentlemen, we've got a ton of crazy stuff today. It's just going to get wild. Oh, man. Let's see. Where to begin? Does it surprise you, ladies and gentlemen, that the things that concur with everyone else's individuality is exactly what it's not? And that's why it all roads will lead to where they need to lead. And it's their fall from grace. Their fall from grace is so intimate that they can't even see what they're doing. And this is their problem. The fall from grace is different than anything you've ever seen before, because there's one big, huge, dynamical problem. And that problem is that they don't even see it. They don't even have regard for anything that's gone on for them. This is the problem with the NFL. Now, as you heard me mention last week, that the NFL has kind of endorsed themselves. They've had to agree to disagree, and then now they've suddenly, whatever else they've done, had, you know, somewhat reasoned with each other and with themselves, because and the chat room begins to fill up. But, hey, you know, all these different things are happening in the blink of an eye. And you have to wonder, how will, you know, all these deals and different things going around, I mean, the Chiefs, the Patriots, the Redskins, everything. I'm sure you've heard about the tight end Fred Davis, who got a new deal with the Redskins. The Patriots are adding more to their roster, and they also signed wide receiver Michael Jenkins. Defensive line of Zach Martin agrees to terms with Dolphins. These things that are happening, it's just through the roof. I mean, everyone has lost everything that could really come back and do their work for them on appointing what everyone else already saw. And everyone wants to know what the 49ers done dealing with their own issues that they have. I mean, Chicago, you know, Chicago Bears, they're all having their issues done with them and the deals that they're trying to make. I mean, can you believe that the final two rounds for the 49ers 2013 NFL draft, there's different things. I mean, everybody was asking, well, are the Patriots going to be in the NFL playoffs in 2013? I mean, there's been some teams who are like, man, I wish the NFL was right now. If there was NFL season right now, then it would be great. Well, yeah, but it's not the NFL season. I mean, the Chiefs right now, they are at a dead standstill. They are definitely at a dead standstill. Because they are desperate, a desperate need for a quarterback. They have to try and figure this all out. And trying to say that we are more desperate than any other NFL team out there. Well, and I don't even understand what my own team is doing. Raiders, what are we doing? Why are we getting rid of all the people that we need to help us get into the Super Bowl? And that's really what's gotten into everything else. DDP, I know DDP's in the chat room. I don't know what the Houston Texans are doing. Everybody else in the NFL is reported what they're going to do and what they have planned or who they're drafting for the 2013 season. Houston Texans, they're the only ones that haven't reported for anything. They haven't said anything. I don't even think they're prepared for the NFL draft. But whatever the case is, that's what it is. Coffee is in the chat room. Yeah, now the show, now this little, you know, birthday bash for everybody. Everybody's birthday today. Just got a whole lot interesting now that Coffee is in the chat room. Coffee said soccer is where it's at. That's real football. Well, Coffee, I mean, it's not a laughing matter anymore. After all, you may be right. Because the one quick thing that I need to run through, and all I have to say about what the NFL did 2 weeks ago, they changed all these rules, and now all these rules don't mean shit to anybody. It's like, oh, what? You're changing this rule for that reason? In other words, they're sticking their words up their own ass because they know that they don't even have a reason for changing these rules. As I told you 2 weeks ago, you heard me mention that I even shared the article with you guys in the chat room. That way, in case if you didn't believe me, you had proof. I had proof to give you. I backed up my story. When they said that, well, we actually, you know, when they were asked, you know, remember, guys, 2 weeks ago, when they were asked, well, how are you going to officiate these new rules? Duh, we don't know. See, it's all about early planning. Time management is a crucial issue for anybody. Not just on the job, not just in life, but time management is very most important in the world of sports. They should have planned this out like 3 years down the line. Well, hell, everybody needs to plan 3 years down the line and go, this is our 3-year plan. This is what we might do, what we're going to attempt to do for the next 3 years. That's what all these different sports organizations did. Hell, even when I was in high school, I would eavesdrop and hear our coaches say, well, we've got this down for the next 3 or 4 years. After all, some of you might be gone and graduated by then. Good old days. But now, nobody plans 3 or 4 years down the line anymore. Everybody just wants to plan at the spur of the moment. It's a fall from grace. And prayers, well, some say you can forget prayers. Others are saying, well, prayer's not really relevant to sports. Yeah, well, that's where it's at. And I can't believe that, hey, in the world of baseball now, Bruce Bochy, Giants general manager Brian Staben, and the guy who just this past Wednesday, we share a common interest. Me and the Giants, great outfielder, and also he's a great batter when he plays offense. Buster Posey, it was his birthday on Wednesday. They've all signed extensive contracts. Ladies and gentlemen, yes. But the thing that surprises me now is, how does everybody get off getting away with having 30 million dollars on a contract? I mean, the Oakland Athletics, I should have mentioned this to my dad last night. I forgot to do that. They'll have to hear it from me on Sunday. But the fact that, how does one of their players get a chance to not only sign a contract, extend his contract as well, and then also have the option to buy out of his contract if he wants to leave the team early? That's bullshit. It's like, come on now. I understand that these guys, in some form or way, have to get paid thousands and thousands of dollars. But I would do it based on performance. I'd be like, well, yeah, let's ratify your contract. You didn't really do that well. You came late in the season. So let's ratify your contract to $200 million for next season. That's still a lot of money. Right? You can pay bills and live off that. Versus if you were one of us who couldn't pay shit on that. terrible. Absolutely terrible. Yeah, I'm okay with posing still too, Coffee. Alex Seaman Steele with the Carolina Hurricanes and stupid. Well, tell us, Coffee, how is that stupid? I mean, I can't believe that all these different things have gotten into what they've gotten into. And it's just, it's an implorification. Coffington, well, 5 years and $35 million. Wow. And Coffington, he's a lazy Russian. Oh, that if he's lazy, then it's really, yeah, that kind of contract, I guess, is not worth it at all. Not worth it at all. And oh, boy. Well, that's where everyone stands, right? No one falls. But, I mean, all these guys now get... I mean, these guys, all these pro athletes, doesn't matter what sport it is, even, yes, wrestling. We're, you know, guys like The Undertaker, I'm pretty sure he probably gets maybe $14 million, despite the fact that he can't be there every single night like he used to. I mean, they should think, here's the thing that all sports should do. How long are you going to be here this season? Are you going to play the entire season? Now, understanding if you get injured, we're not going to count that against you. That's what I would do. Injuries, because injuries are a part of the game. But my philosophy and my thinking is, how long? How long, Coffee, can you sign an actual contract? Can you really sign a one-year contract? Are you really going to be here, Coffee, for one whole year? Or DDP, can you really sign a 10-year deal? Can you really be here for 10 whole years? So that's what I would do. I would find out if you're able to stay and you really like the organization, you really like the team that you're playing for, and most importantly, you like your teammates and your coaches. Because it's not one thing where you fall from grace and say, you know what, I want out of my contract. The hell with you all. I quit. And then 6 months or six months to a year later, I find out you're playing for another team. Which, to the NFL and the Major League Baseball's discretion, is totally, ridiculously stupid and irrelevant. Because you see all these coaches and, you know, they try and act like, well, we knew about it. No, you didn't. Shut the hell up. You didn't know about it. Like, remember 3 years ago when I ran the Brett Favre story about how he sneaked out of his Green Bay Packers contract? Because he needed time off. And then 3 months before the season even started, he goes and signs a deal with the other team, a different team. Remember? Because Brett Favre felt that he needed his glory days. And stay there. And, you know, I'm like, really? Brett Favre wanted to see his glory days. He said, my best days are not behind me. And then, you know, Green Bay, they were like, oh, well, you know, when asked by ESPN or somebody else hot off the press or from radio, oh, what do you mean we didn't know about him signing? Yeah, we knew he was going to sign with another team. We just, you know, yeah, we knew. Shut up. No, you didn't. That's bullshit. They didn't know about it, and they know they don't know about it. They knew that, but they let it happen anyway. They let him slide out of his Green Bay contract so he could go to another team. Well, consequently, take all this time off and then wait 3 months before the season, and then he finds another team to play for. That's what sports have done. That's why I say it applies to not just, you know, football, baseball, wrestling. It applies to all sports. Like, remember the kid from UFC who had been there for about 2 years? And he was a man and doing his thing, and because that's the type of sport that UFC is. And then right before Thanksgiving in 2008, remember when I told you how pissed off Dana White was at him? When he found out, oh, the guy was such and such a taller force than him. I'm not fighting him. No, I'm out of here. I quit. Dana White said, this is a man's sport, and you're acting like a two-year-old. You want to get your act together? Get your act together. If not, there's the door. Don't let it hit you in the ass on the way out. I tell you, Dana White was pissed that year. That's why it goes back to what I said. That this fall from grace is affecting every sport, every athlete, every team. But most importantly, it affects the fans. That's why I say, these organizations, you guys need to start asking and finding out how long a player is actually going to stay. Are they really, really committed? Because if they're not, find out. I can't help you find that out. I'm not the coach. I'm not the owner. That's you guys' job. I tell you. Well, I guess you'd say in some ways that I am responsible for us going to commercial break real quick. That's the way it is around here on the Sports Opinion Show. Check this out. We've got a ton of crazy news, especially TNA says they're losing money. There's a compromisable deal with that, but you know, hey, and there's a problem WWE is having with the Madison Square Garden incident, you know, since WrestleMania is coming up. And also got some sad news to report as well. See you.
Fans, don't worry. The Sports Opinion Show will be back after a brief message from our friends here on the NDB Media Network.
Hi, sports fans. As you all know, there's lots of stuff happening here on NDB Media, and here on our sports channel, Sports Talk with the Guys, we've just debuted a brand new program, The Five Tool Show. Carell Cooper and Tanya Mercado keep it real from the East Coast, and that's on every Tuesday at 6 p.m. Pacific Time. Of course, Matt Alvarez and the Sports Opinion Show is on every Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific Time. Sports Talk with the Guys Saturday Morning Extravaganza is on at 6 a.m. Pacific Time, part of the 5-hour block of sports on Blog Talk Radio. Tune into that for additional details. And don't forget to catch the Big Dog every Monday and Thursday at 8 p.m. Pacific Time. Head on over to ndbmedia.com, join the community, join the conversation. See you on the other side. Hey, sports fans, this is the Scorekeeper once again. I want to remind you that, of course, we wake you up Saturday morning at 6 a.m. Pacific time, and immediately following us at 8 a.m. is the hardest working man in sports. That's the Couch Potato. And, of course, his venerable sidekick, Cuervo. Again, after all, we wake you up, and they bring it home. Don't forget to catch them at 8 a.m. Pacific time, because we are the four-hour block of sports on Saturday morning on blogtalkradio.com. Sports Talk with the Guys, immediately followed by The Couch Potato. Check them out at blogtalkradio.com/the-couch-potato.
And now, we return back to the Sports Opinion Show with your host, Matt Alfred.
And we are back right here on the Sports Opinion Show. Got a 15-minute late start because of computer issues over here. Not Blog Talk Radio, just my computer. Ah, I hate that crap. But anyway, glad to make it on, finally, after 15 minutes. Oh, man. Well, now you know, or you're going to know, that everything is slowly building up into WrestleMania. Yet, I hope that you're ready for this great wrestling news. And, of course, a very sad piece of information as well. And I'm sure you're doing what my friend Craig is doing right now. You're getting your snacks ready. Well, I hope you had them ready all this time. Hope you've been eating your snacks or whatever you do. Coffee? I don't know what he drinks. I always forget what coffee drinks. I have a good memory about what everybody does that when they listen to the show. But when it comes to coffee... Pal, I'm sorry. I always forget. I don't know. I think coffee likes to drink milk. After all, it does the body good. Speaking of it doing the body good, Maria Menounos has revealed that as a long rumored, she said it's no longer a rumor now. She will, in fact, induct Bob Backlund into the WWE Hall of Fame this year as part of the class of 2013. She also revealed this news on live TV with Kelly and Michael. There's rumors going around about other people who could, you know, it looked like one half of the former tag team champion, Harlem Heat. That's right. Stevie Ray might be also involved in, you know, introducing his brother, you know, inducting him, Booker T. Booker T into the Hall of Fame. That would be nice. You know what else would be nice that me and my good friend Craig have been talking about? Got to put some tag teams into the Hall of Fame. There's a lot of the old great tag teams, man. Come on now. Don't disrespect the tag teams. And check this out. I can believe this. I had to check and do a further investigation into it, but this is indeed true. But it also actually means that this case is actually still up in the air, so it could go either way. Because Hulk Hogan scored a win in his lawsuit against Gawker.com over the leaking of his actual sex tape. Judge James Whitmore granted Hogan's motion to remand the lawsuit back to the state court. Gawker was attempting to get the case moved to federal court. Whitmore also granted the motion to link the lawsuit with Hogan's separate lawsuit against Heather Klim, the ex-wife of Bubba the Love Sponge. Remember that guy? The motion was granted based on chain of custody questions regarding how the sex tape ended up in Gawker's hands. The judge noted The claims against Heather Glim and Gawker are logically related and rest on the same set of operative facts, namely the recording and publication of the video. However, this is where Hogan somehow, he probably has powerful attorneys, I'm sure, and they're probably great ones, because he got it, not only did all these things get remanded to him, the judge also gave permission to move back to Florida. The state can now go back to Florida now at this current time. And it's being reported that Gawker still has a good chance, though, to win based on its First Amendment rights defense. But if they are on less certain ground that could be right now, then Hogan could win entirely. Because if he actually loses this, there could be a lot more things that Hogan could lose in just this lawsuit case. WWE is reportedly losing quite a bit of money on the 2013 Hall of Fame ceremony due to it being held at Madison Square Garden. Triple H said to have campaigned heavily for the ceremony to be held at Madison Square Garden, despite the extremely high cost of running / renting the building, because in addition to Bruno Sammartino, Mick Foley, and Bob Backlund, both have strong ties to the area as well. Additionally, the company felt that it was important to have some part of WrestleMania at the arena. The event is taking place in the New York, New Jersey market anyways. In other words, you know, remember when they first started, it was the mid-90s, when they had acquired a good, you know, but kind of not so well-known arena. And they said, now we're going to transfer over to Madison Square Garden, where this little, you know, boxing match is going to take place. And I forgot who it featured, but it was on a pay-per-view that they did. I have it on videotape. You know, VHS, Coffee and DDP, remember that? God, VHS. I feel so, never mind, I'm not going to say that word on the air. Also, at this point, CM Punk is still expected to take time off after, you know, / following WrestleMania. Because several people in WWE believe that he is more beat up than he's been letting on. And he's believed to be burned out from his constant work for the company over the past years. That means it equals 2 years. Because with Punk out of action, WWE has made sure to secure both The Rock and Brock Lesnar for Extreme Rules this year. The show will have a 6-week build, and the star power means that the show may perform better than usual. Wow. Gotta welcome guest 3186 in the chat room. Punk has also reportedly been at odds with WWE's creative team in recent months. Some are feeling that he's kind of just leading back into this thing that he's doing. Almost sounds like he's trying to copy what Steve Austin did. No, Punk, if you walk out of the company, goodbye career. The only reason Stone Cold had that option was, hey, he got away with it. He really got away with it. And also, this is very, very dramatic, and I can't believe that this happened. And I was like, is this true? Is this real? But it must be true, because it was all over social media today. You know, just 2.5 hours before the show went live, David Flair, the son of Ric Flair, passed away 24 hours ago at the age of 24. Cause of death at this time is not known. Reed had been training for years to be a professional wrestler with Bobby Eaton and George South, who were both training him. He was going to debut on ROH TV when his father was working for the company, but ROH backed off the plan due to the younger Flair being arrested for heroin possession. Reed had been recently working for All Japan, and WWE was also taking a look at him. The word was that WWE was considering signing him for the developmental deal, but that never happened. Sean Waltman tweeted on Twitter, "So very sorry to Nature Boy and his family, no matter what differences we've had." He said, my heart goes out to him. And on behalf of the Sports Opinion Show, I'd like to take this time to say that we send our deepest condolences to the family of Ric Flair, the friends and also the fans of Reed Flair. So, yeah, it's terrible. I can't believe that. Reed Flair is dead at the age of 24. And I looked into it and investigated. And when when Test died, he was 34. This is 24. That means that Reed Flair jumped right to number one. The youngest wrestler to pass away. Very, very sad. Very sad. So, man, that's terrible. Just absolutely shocking news. Shocking news. Yes. Mm-hmm. That's a still either way, Lisa. That's an early age to go. Well, this is, ladies and gentlemen, our birthday bash. However, we'll do that at the end of the show. You're probably saying, "What? What have you got up your sleeve, Alvarez?" Well, I always got something up my sleeve. Got trump cards, ace cards. And yeah, it's crazy. So that more than likely, because my good friend Craig, he told me that, well, you know, Ric Flair was supposed to be here at the end of next month. Well, you can, more than likely, ladies and gentlemen, if Ric Flair was supposed to come to your promotion or to your town or to do some type of, you know, autograph signing, you can forget that, throw that out the window, because more than likely he's probably going to cancel everywhere that he was scheduled to be, whether it be in the Northeast region or in the Chicago area, or hell, even way up in the New York and Florida areas. That's the way it goes, ladies and gentlemen. But yeah, hey, you know. I can honestly believe how this whole thing happened. Because, you know, I mean, we'll get to Impact Wrestling later on. We'll talk about how much that they changed when they didn't make no acknowledgement of why they made this little change. And I know that they felt it not necessary to mention this. You're damn right it's necessary to mention the changes that you made, especially if we can visually see your changes. Oh, my God. And it's just wild. Because this is, you know, how they do these crazy things. Coffee says, He only has 10 fantasy baseball teams. He needs more. And, you know, it's crazy. Because, you know, after what WWE has done and throwing this in our faces, they need to, because, you know, people have asked me this week, how is a guy like Bandango already have a WrestleMania match? Well, now hold on to your hats, ladies and gentlemen, because this just may be what they needed. Because they've already admitted publicly, you heard me mention it 2 weeks ago, that, well, we screwed up the Fandango character. Yeah, it's about time you admitted a mistake you made. The Fandango character needs to be done with. But this is probably why they're throwing him in a WrestleMania match. Because, hey, they need to get rid of him. They know they screwed up his character. And what still surprises me, I'm the only one still surprised about it, how they can still get away with naming him Fandango when Fandango is already copyrighted, you know, Fandango.com, it's for movies. Coffee said, Laura Croft needs to join WWF. yeah, that would be nice, pal, but she's a video game character. That's not going to make it in. So, let's get into this. Because, you know, Raw, of course, when I kicked off with CM Punk and Paul Heyman still disrupting, you know, the death of Paul Bearer with the urn. But after that segment took off, and right before Fandango was supposed to have his match, and he's like, nah, forget this. After that whole segment and everything else happened, Michael Cole said it again, what he's been saying. He's like, well, Dolph Ziggler's going to be coming on his way out. Yeah, yeah, he's going to come out with that Money in the Bank briefcase that he'll get to, you know, cash it in on somebody. At Survivor Series? I said, wait a minute. Why would he do it at Survivor Series or SummerSlam? It does not make sense. Copy the WWE owes somebody some money. yeah, right. We'll see who this is. Maybe it's the birthday king. I don't know. Oh, wait, no, that's me. 267, you're on the air.
Matt, you sound so damn desperate. Say no. How you doing, Matt?
Oh, my God, it's AJ. What's up, bro?
I'm fine. Happy Good Friday to you, man.
Yeah, same to you. How's it going so far? How's the weather in Philadelphia?
It's cloudy, but it's better.
You want to trade places? It's nice and sunny over here.
No, I'm fine with Philly. I like my city a lot better. It's promising. Very promising. So I have a question for you. Have you heard about Ric Flair's death?
Yeah, I just reported on it. That's terrible.
I'm sorry, I didn't get a chance to hear about it. But here's my thoughts about it. It's kind of crazy. Because I think that the world was about to see something, like, special blossom. I don't really know the details of his death, but it's kind of rough when you lose your child. And I know Ric Flair is going through a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I can't imagine what Flair must be going through right now.
I can't either. I mean, at first he was hospitalized, and now this. This is kind of crazy. It's like an orange. After you keep peeling and peeling and peeling, and you notice that there's nothing there. It's kind of fucked up.
Yes, it is. I mean, well, there's no reports on how he died or what actually happened, but, you know, real quickly, let me read you this from my friend on Facebook. He said, 24 years old is way too damn young for anyone to die. Then my heart goes out to Ric Flair and his family at this time. No parent should ever go through the pain of losing and burying their child. Sadly, he said, if drugs are to blame for Reed Flair's death, then this is just even bigger tragedy. In a long list of my beloved heroes, he said, that we lost to this damn drug epidemic. But sadly, as long as pro wrestlers are in pain, regardless of its physical, mental, emotional, whatever, there will always be a severe drug epidemic. I feel the industry as a whole must come together for the sake of the future of this business that we all love, and we have to figure out a way to at least lessen the pain that these athletes are in so much that we can help stop this plague once and for all. Rest in peace, Reed. What do you think of that statement by my friend?
Oh, man.
Is it a drug epidemic, or is it...
You said, is there a drug epidemic?
Yeah, that's what my friend thinks.
In wrestling, period? Yes. Yes, there's one in wrestling, period. If you can't, okay, going all the way back to the 90s, you could tell that, I mean, between steroids and drugs, it was rampant. And a lot of them, little organizations such as ECW, back then, I mean, you could see it in the wrestlers. I mean... To this point, I think they've got it, like, not under control totally, but they, like, kind of can manage it. But as far as, like, overdosing, at this time, you're right, you don't know if it was a drug-related thing. He probably thinks it was, but from what I've read, and, you know, we could be totally wrong, nothing's, you know, totally 100% official, but from what I'm reading, they think that there was no foul play, but... As far as where your friend is concerned, and the fact that a state that is there a drug epidemic in wrestling in a whole sense, it's kind of no doubt. There's no doubt. I mean, you look at Eddie Guerrero, you look at Chris Benoit, and not to say that, you know, not to pick on them or whatever, but you saw what type of demons they dealt with and what they said in their biographies. And then you hear what other people say about, you know, backstage. I mean, who was it? Macho Man Randy Savage, and you had Scott Hall with the drinking, and you don't know what any of these wrestlers have done. And then, you know, more and more deaths keep occurring and occurring and occurring. And, I mean, that's what you start to believe after a while. I mean, you hear all these rumors, and at one moment you don't want to believe them, but the next moment, you mean, you see all these wrestlers dying, and you know that when you're on the road for such long times, you do kind of get burned out. People start turning to other things to keep them motivated and keep them going. I mean, like, and the sad thing is, it happens to have to be drugs. But there is an epidemic in wrestling as far as drugs is concerned. But in Reed Flair's case, I don't think that was actually it. I think that this was probably natural, more natural than it was, you know, drug related. But I could be wrong. I could be wrong. But as far as, like I said, and to keep repeating it and to reiterate, there really is an epidemic, and somebody needs to go and really, like, exploited. If you're going to make wrestling, you know, 100% can't. All right, there's no way that the full entire content of wrestling between any companies can become 100%, you know, kiddie-proof. But if you want to sit up there and, like, try and put a hole or, like, an end to, you know, drug usage behind the scenes or, like, try and control it, you got to do something. Because the more people that die, the less interested anybody becomes in the product.
Yeah, it's true. And this is why I've had a problem the past few years with Vince McMahon's wellness policy because, well, he says, well, if you do drugs, it doesn't matter if it's the illegal kind or a substance kind or even the kind that's not supposed to be submitted by doctors here in WWE. But if you get caught with those, yeah, you're going to be suspended. You know,
this whole
Jack Swagger thing, he's still wrestling after what he did. Plus, he assaulted a police officer last month, and they're still letting him wrestle.
Here's my thing with marijuana, because I've read the Jack Swagger thing, and this is the second time with that as well. Marijuana is a plant, and I want to clear this up with everybody. It's an illegal plant that people smoke. It's kind of crazy because if you can plant it and it can grow on this, you know, green earth, I mean, we eat tomatoes and apples and oranges and, I mean, all types of shit that grow from the ground. Like, you can plant a seed and it grows that are legal. And I don't understand how this is illegal. I mean, you can smoke tobacco, but you can't smoke weed. Many people do dumb stuff after smoking marijuana, okay? So I guess, you know, the effects of it kind of, you know, make people, like, weary about legalizing it. Now, as far as drugs, a controlled substance, which is crack or anything else, you know, I don't want to turn this into, like, a drug class 101 or nothing, but you should be more focused on, you know, other substances than marijuana. Marijuana, I mean, it's illegal. It is under state precedent and laws. I know not out there in California is illegal. It's legal out of California, but here and, you know, in Pennsylvania and around the rest of the country, besides, you know, long story short, you should put more focus on other substance abuse drugs. I don't see how marijuana really affects you. It just slows you down, makes you feel calmer. I don't want to go into all that, but you should focus on everything else, steroids and a controlled substance. Marijuana is not a controlled substance. For them to allow Jack Swagger to keep going on that note, fine. But assaulting a police officer and doing all that other crazy shit, they should pay that more attention. But you bring up a good point because the fact that WWE is showing that they're allowing wrestlers to keep wrestling, even though they've been, you know, suspect of their wellness policy, how strong is that wellness policy, in a sense?
You got to be kidding me with that question, AJ. There is no wellness policy. That's what I think. I think it
applies to certain people.
Exactly. It would be like me. Like, let's say I'm the promoter and you're the wrestler, AJ. But let's say you're brand new.
Mm-hmm.
If you do something wrong, I'm gonna go, you're fired, and you're going to be sent home with your final paycheck. But let's say somebody like Stone Cold or The Undertaker comes through, and they did the same thing. Oh, it's okay. Don't worry about it. We'll keep that on the lowdown. A low
right.
profile between me and you.
They've done it with Triple H. I mean, look at Triple H used to be jacked up on steroids, and nobody can tell me nothing different. You see how small Triple H has gotten over the years? That's a result of not using the steroids as much. I mean, he probably doesn't, you know, use it as much now, or probably doesn't use it at all. But back in the day, I mean, like, you used to look at Triple H, Test, and so many other wrestlers who used to look like, dude, like, there's no fucking way in hell. Christian, Edge, like, come the fuck on, are you kidding me? Wellness policy. And nobody saw that Jeff Hardy was using opium and shit back in the day? Are you kidding me? You gotta be fucking crazy to think that this kid from Cameron, North Carolina, including his brother, would do backflips off of ladders just because. Are you, Matt, would you really send your body from a 20-foot ladder through tables?
No.
Some people got some people use drugs to get high in order to numb the pain. Because, you know, those matches back during the Attitude Era, and even back in the old days, used to be hell.
Exactly. I mean...
But to this point... Go ahead.
And that's why when, you know, the second pay-per-view for One Night Stand, when they did 2006, when Paul Heyman came out to open the show, you know he was in line. He was telling 100% God's truth when he said, I want you to know, I'm not crying, and he keeps wiping his eyes. But my eyes are red because I'm in the back smoking a joint with Van Damme. And everybody knew he wasn't lying.
I think he still owes him money. He still owes Rob Van Damme money. And what's crazy is that the shit that went on in some of these fucking rooms. I mean, WCW should be up. Well, I mean, this entire argument and concept and whatever you want to call it, this whole entire wellness policy thing, I mean, look at WCW. They have major drug problems in the back, snorting lines of coke, and I don't even want to talk about who that was, but the alcoholism, Scott Hall, his addiction to alcohol, I mean, he's gotten past that now, thank God, but back then he was like a heavy alcoholic and going drunk to the ring. I consider alcohol a drug because if any time you can kill somebody legally with a vehicle and be drunk, you're crazy. That's a controlled substance. I mean, like, shit. These companies, not even these companies, WWE is really fucking up as far as that is concerned. And it's just something that should be paid more attention to by them. If you want more respect out of your fans and stuff, you want to actually make an impact, then start showing us shit that'll make a difference. Like, all this wrestling shit is good, but you're still a business at the end of the day.
Exactly. That business needs to, you know, give respect and do everything else for the fans.
It's not even just for the fans, it's for themselves, actually. Because if who would want to work for a company that's going to allow drug addicts to still go ahead and wrestle? Are you kidding me? Abusing prescription painkillers is a substance abuse problem. Wellness
mm-hmm.
problem. I mean, all this shit is highlighted in their contracts, in this wellness policy, but they don't obey it. They don't obey it. Come on, man. All these marijuana arrests, like I said, it's still illegal, but you're still not doing anything about it. Like, okay, it should be legalized all around. Yes, we know that. That's the argument. Some people don't believe it. Some people do believe it. Long story short. But if you have this in the wellness policy that you don't want that done by your employees, then you should enforce that. And I think
right.
He was suspended. I'm not too sure. I have to go back. And I probably, if I decide to call him next week, which probably more likely will happen because I think this will be a two-part process with me, I'll let you know what I find in their wellness policy. And I'll also give you an update on whether or not he was suspended because I do believe he was.
No, he hasn't. He
wasn't?
Because it was reported after it happened at after a SmackDown event. He went to the bar and had a couple of drinks, and then something happened, and then...
He got pulled over by the cops. They found it in his car. I remember parts of it.
Yeah. Something like
and
that.
They found, I'll do some research, and I'll let you know next week what happened, what exactly happened. But it's kind of crazy. Like, at the end of the day, like, if you're not going to hold the superstars responsible, then what the fuck?
Exactly. But I think, you know, back to this whole thing that, you know, with Ric Flair's son now dead, I think he just went to the top of the list. I think he's probably going to be named the youngest wrestler to ever die.
Mm-hmm.
So,
that's crazy.
It is. That's not good for the wrestling business. I mean, and then... You have all these people that say, well, he was my role model. I was looking up to him. I don't know. Honestly, I wasn't looking up to wrestlers as role models growing up, AJ. I was looking up to police officers and stuff like that because I thought that's the way I would want my life to go, but not anymore. I changed my mind on that.
I'll put it to you like this. Being an urban city kid over here in Philadelphia, you put your... How can I best say it? You try to look up to something that you believe in. And back in the day, growing up, I believed in wrestling a lot, but that was secondary. My first thing was, you know, my family. Because all my family members showed different, you know, characteristics of what I wanted to do in life. So that was the first part. The second part was I looked at wrestling as, you know, an escape from, you know, the crazy shit that used to go on around where I used to live. So looking up to The Rock and Triple H and all of them, you know, it was different. But to know the truths behind most of the shit that went on in wrestling, I mean, it looked at fun and great back then, but now that you look at it, like, damn, you was underneath such and such and nobody did anything to you and they knew it. And then there's a little different shit that used to go on behind the scenes that, you know, kept going and going and going and nobody did anything. Like, and it's not just with the wellness policy, it's with other shit too, but the main focus is this wellness policy. But I just think that this is an argument that's not over with and needs, like, a solution too. Now. Not later, now.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. You know, I think that, you know, I'm sure, you know, they're going to be doing an autopsy and all that other stuff to find out exactly what the cause of death was. And, you know, I hope to God that you know, I'm wrong, that it had nothing to do with drugs. I hope you're right, that he just died of natural causes.
I hope so. I really do. But like I said, shit is crazy in this wrestling business. And if you're not prepared for it, then it's just going to smack you like reality does anybody else.
Mm-hmm. You got that right. You said it.
It's going to catch up to you, man. It's going to catch up to you like y'all trading Dan Murray to the Penguins. What the hell were y'all thinking?
Yeah, I just found out that from coffee in the chat room that, you know, we're trading people that we don't need to trade on the Raiders team.
Not the Raiders and Sharks. Oh, the Raiders are done. I told you that years ago.
We're not done. We're just, I don't know what we're
done.
Doing. Damn. Oh,
pick a fork in y'all, because you're done. There's no hope, Matt. There's no way you guys, you let, like, 8 players go. It's time to trade McFadden for draft picks and just blow that team up.
Yeah, it is. But yeah, my shark. Yeah, my San Jose shark. Hell yeah, that's good. That's good.
Now I need to blow that team up too.
What?
Hell, they need to blow the Flyers up. The teams that are struggling need to blow up. Yes. The Flyers are, I don't even know how to discuss that. After 2010, that's when all the shit started happening. Last year was a good season though, when they bust the Penguins' ass in the playoffs. But this season, I don't know. Because maybe it's because of that lockout shortened season. But that's not even a problem. So I don't know what to say about the Flyers. The Flyers are in desperate need of help.
Yeah, now that we're talking about that, Coffee just named all the leaders on the Sharks team because they all need to be traded. Ah, no, they don't.
You can get some good prospects back. I'd trade them to the Jets for some defense help. Y'all need some defensiveness.
Man.
I mean, you trade defensemen, but still, you need it, and you kind of need some offensive pieces. But Patrick Merlot, I mean, he's pretty good. I don't really know the San Jose roster like that.
Yeah. Well, that's because you're supposed to follow your hockey team, and I'll follow mine. You know your roster for your team, and I know my roster for my team.
Hey. I'm a general sports talker. I talk sports. It's funny you said that, because going back to them Raiders, I think your former safety just signed with the Ravens, right? Michael Huff.
Right.
Which leaves you guys at a disadvantage, because you guys need to draft a whole brand new secondary. What really made y'all let Michael Huff go? He's good in coverage and can tackle.
Yeah, really.
Why did y'all let him go?
I honestly don't know.
Cool,
I can't believe it.
You should go be an Atlanta fan and join OCU Mier. There's hope there.
Yeah, I guess so. Coffee's watching a soccer game on TV. Or I forgot what he's watching, but he typed in the chat and he's like, "Goal!" Yeah, but
I got a question for you, Matt.
Yeah.
How long do you think it's going to be before RBD goes back to WWE?
I think give it about 6 months.
6 months?
Yeah.
I want to hold you to that.
To see if I'm right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, since you want to go there. My name is Stone Cold Steve Austin, and I'm always right. And that's the bottom line, AJ. At least I hope I'm right. I mean, he usually does that anyways. He did the same thing when he left WWE the first time to go to TNA. He waited a whole year.
True. But the thing that's different now is the fact that I think his contract is up at this very second. His contract is up, and he's taking his time at re-signing, because the TNA project really is doing good on the road, but I think this might be the end of it. Seriously. I haven't personally watched TNA in God knows how long.
Yeah,
I watch a lot of independent wrestling.
Yeah, well, you know, we're going to take the rest of the time for the show to talk about that, because publicly, they didn't announce any of the physical changes. The changes that we can see, and there was this whole Aces and Eights thing, and, you know, my good friend Craig, he said, "Man, it looked like WCW last night." And so when it was time to watch it for me, I said, "Yeah, but then they've always kind of been like WCW in some ways more than others." Because when the show opened, Todd Kinley, you know, their newest man, their newest announcer, since Don West is now in charge of merchandising or whatever, he got three other titles. I don't know what the hell he's doing now. But I know one of them is head of merchandise. So he brought this new guy in, Todd. He's been doing it for about a year and a half, doing pretty good. Taz is playing a heel role now, AJ, and part of the Ace of the Nate group, which is like a mob gang, a biker gang, if they can.
It's supposed to be what APA wasn't.
No, it's supposed to be
funny.
Like what the NWO was.
Yeah.
Big group of guys.
No, I mean, the group of guys part is right, but if you ever notice, they're doing the entire APA gimmick in the back, but only is better. But it's kind of ass, because the writers don't know how to actually capture it and run with it.
Exactly. But you know what?
Their writing sucks. I'm sorry.
But what sucks?
Their writing staff sucks. The writing.
Exactly.
The way the show is, it's just totally ass.
But when Todd Kinley was opening the show and mentioning things, and he goes, well, welcome to Impact Wrestling. And then they just go right into the first match. And, you know, and they were talking about on the road and doing all the stuff that they're doing now. And I'm like, okay, you have one more announcement to make. Not one time during the whole show, ladies and gentlemen, did they mention, oh, if you noticed, we're over here by the, you know, next to the timekeeper, by the ring now. Just like WCW. They didn't make one mention to let everybody know that their new location now. They're not up there on the ramp anymore. They're down there by the ring. I'm like, you should let your fans know the changes you're making publicly, because we can see them publicly. Pissed me off with that crap. But, you know, one thing I want to know, and damn, when Hernandez and Chavo Guerrero were wrestling in the tag team match, they ended it with some crazy ass move, and I was like, what in the hell was that? I know Coffee and DDP did. AJ, I'm not sure if you saw it last night.
No, I haven't watched TNA and gotten this how long.
Wow.
It doesn't appeal. I'm going to be honest, it just doesn't appeal to me.
Yeah, it's losing its touch. It really is.
It is, and it's sad, because it's such a promising product with the focus on the knockouts, and it's actually respect to the female. They're not divas, they're knockouts. They want respect, too. WWE needs to take care of that.
Exactly, because, you know, we'll just forget about TNA then and start talking about, you know, how WWE is doing. I mean, I found out that, I believe my friend Craig told me that P. Diddy's going to do a special concert type thing at WrestleMania.
Oh, wow. If he had a career, it makes sense, but...
I told my friend Craig this. Just like the last three Super Bowls, where their halftime show that sucked, the people that they bring in to do a mini concert or whatever for WWE at WrestleMania, they suck too. With all the good ass band, Batman.
They're too busy booked, so you got to go to, like, I don't know. I think at this stage in the game, you better hire Donna's. They better hire Suzanne, whatever the hell her name is, Susan Summers or somebody. Somebody that's going to just generate buzz. It's sad. It's totally sad. Like, from what I was reading the other day, they wanted to bring in 3-6 Mafia to sing Mark Henry's theme song. But I'm like, you know, he's had this theme song for years. We all know what the song sounds like. If I'm not mistaken, they've sung it before for him, so.
Yeah, they have.
No. It's not going to work. No, thank
you.
So
if you were booking WrestleMania and you wanted a hot commodity band to come in and do a little concert for WrestleMania, who would you book? Who would you call up?
I don't know. That's a good question, though. It's a very good question. What would you call it?
I think personally that I would book Stained, because they're a good band. They just released.
Oh shit! I said what I'd call it. You said who would you book? I don't know who I would book for WrestleMania period, because you have to book that right after WrestleMania happens. Like, as soon as one WrestleMania happens, you have to book people right then and there. If you want your WrestleMania to be hot, you have to book it and you have to write it to the way that you book that person to appear. Like, all right, let's say if Madonna will ever show her face in WWE. If you want Madonna to show up, You have to find a way to make the females relevant and also make a female main event for WrestleMania. Because
yeah.
Madonna.
Exactly.
So if, along those lines, if you want a heavy hitter to come to the WWE and really make the show, you got to sit up there and you got to hire. All right, I've been saving this one for a while, and I might catch some heat for it. But if you want Chris Brown to ever show his face, no, Justin Bieber. You've got all those kids there, and it's geared towards kids, and you've got Justin Bieber there. If you want Justin Bieber to come to that show, you have to make a fan favorite out of one of these young up-and-coming superstars. Have
mm-hmm.
Justin Bieber sing his song or whatever, you know, something along those lines. Have him show up, sing his song, have him come out, have him win that championship. But you got to turn it into a process where he keeps trying and trying and trying and trying, like a Kurt Angle story.
Exactly. But I don't.
Entertaining.
Why did you have to mention him?
Ooh, Justin Bieber, because of the kids. If it wasn't so geared to kids, I'd have been said, you know, you call up Metallica and tell them to come up for an anniversary show or something. I don't know if they're still, you know, intact or whatever.
I mean, come on. Didn't you hear the news about Justin this week? That kid, man. He assaulted his neighbor.
I don't know who Justin is. Who's Justin?
I don't know. Some kid. That's pretty popular. I think he's some white kid.
Oh, you're talking about Bieber.
Yeah.
He's kind of funny. Somebody needs to put him in his place, though. All that money's going to his head, and he. Yeah. Why did I bring him up? That's a good question. And there were other, you know, kid-related, you know, superstars out there. Oh, Selena Gomez, his ex-girlfriend, but she's irrelevant. Kind of like the women's division in WWE, but. You know, if they ever want something to happen to change and bring in hot talent, they got to change their product. Not too many big-name people are going to work with, you know, mid-level talent. Would you?
No, but here's what I've been preaching on throughout most of the show last week. I said that this is what they need to do. Because what they're basically doing is they're doing all this cussing and sexual immorality stuff, and you know the TV-14 stuff on Monday nights, and then by the time Friday Night SmackDown comes around, they're like, oh, okay, just tone it down just a little bit. Okay, right there, that's perfect. And then they got their Saturday morning show, which is basically TVY. It basically is. You talk about, you know, watered down child development show. The Saturday morning crap is a child development show. Why can't they just make Monday night the whole crazy back to the way it was TV-14 show? SmackDown, you can have that as your PG product, and then you've got your Y product on Saturday morning for 30 minutes.
No. Here's the problem with that. PG has to be for the kids. If you want to make it PG for the kids. You got first off, SmackDown should not be on sci-fi, but they got desperate. That's why. That's the way it is. They didn't have another network to pick up SmackDown. At one point in time, my network TV was going to agree to it, but they decided not to go with that. It was for less money, and sci-fi decided to give them more money. And also, you know, they're in cahoots with NBC Universal, so since Raw is on the USA Network, and now SmackDown's on Sci-Fi. That allows them to do, you know, Saturday Night Main Event on NBC or whatever type of special programming they want to do, tribute to the troops. And not only to say that, but remember they also got Superstars. Well, Superstars is taped, from what I'm being told, and then show is NXT, and if you want to be technical, they got Main Event, which is on another subsidiary station of NBC, which is ION. I don't know if you've ever had a chance to catch Main Event on Wednesday nights at 8 in certain locations. Check your local listing. Man, I just did that. But
yeah, you're promoting WWE. Nice job.
Yeah, well, see, I mean, you got to go with the hot product. But it's not that hot, because apparently I'm talking trash about them. But if you're going to make anything PG, it has to be towards the kids. I mean, you got nothing but kids there, and, I mean, basically the whole thing is going PG, so.
Yeah, but
it's, it's dumb all the way around.
It is, because like I'm saying, like I've been saying, what they were doing on Monday night, they were just, you know, I mean, Chris Jericho was off the wall about, you know, wanting his revenge on Fandango. He's like, I'm going to kick your ass. And I'm like, well, you know, how is that not relevant to PG when he's openly cussing?
Go ahead. I'm sorry. My fault.
When Tentai and, you know, the Funkadacto, that guy, when they were wrestling in a tag team match against, you know, Road Scholars, they didn't show it on camera, but, you know, Naomi's over there brawling with, you know, the Bellas and the Funkadactos are fighting it off. They didn't show it on camera, but Brie Bella, you know, her skirt kind of snapped off. And you can see her full ass and everything from behind.
That's because this company, okay, if you're going to make anything edgy, Raw should be the edgy show, okay?
That's what I'm saying, see?
And you're right about that. And if you're going to cuss, just cuss. I mean, don't cover it up. Just be about it and do it. Because I know if I'm going to cuss, I'm just going to go ahead and just flat out say, Matt, fuck you, you know. This show is mine, we'll take over, yada, yada, yada. And if you're going to do it that way, carry it over from Raw to SmackDown, because more than likely, Main Event. I don't know, have you ever seen Main Event?
No, I don't get that channel, sadly.
You don't? You don't get ION? Listen, on Main Event, it's like the way wrestling used to be. I mean, it's a little entertaining. I mean, it's just an hour. It gives you something like, okay, well, this show is what, you know, SmackDown used to be. It's kind of edgy and creative, a little bit, because it used a lot of mid-card superstars. But as far as Raw and SmackDown, you don't get a kind of a chance to see a lot of the mid-card talents because you're too busy promoting all the big names, okay? And they really don't do too much of a good job of that anymore because the writing sucks and Vince keeps changing shit. But if you're going to cuss, you cannot call yourself PG-13 or PG. You have to call yourself TV-14 or TVY, meaning for everything, or whatever, or no rating at all, okay? But look at the networks they're on, which are all PG networks. Kind of tells you the story of why that product is PG, but at some extent, it's kind of 14.
Yeah.
Kind of restricted. So I guess like the network also plays a role in how your product is supposed to be. Well, if you wanted to be edgy, you should have stayed with Spike, renewed your contract with Spike. Spike gave you the money, but Vince wanted to go back to USA Network because there was an open chance for him to be able to do a lot of different things with that company that he wasn't able to do while under a TV contract with Spike. And it sounds crazy, but he kind of monopolized wrestling with these channels. So that for other competition, you know, WWE is on more than anybody else. So if you get a TV contract, you're not getting it with NBC. So you got to hope for CBS, which really isn't geared towards wrestling, but would be kind of unique to watch TNA, you know, hook up with them. Because look at what MMA is doing with Fox. I mean, it's kind of a little better than Spike because it's more national, it's more local.
Mm-hmm.
Nationally distributed, so it's kind of better. But look what WWE is doing and the wrestling community, and it's kind of, you know, kind of forced wrestling companies' hands. But for them to be PG-13, I think they're dumb. and to allow certain things to happen that shouldn't be happening while it's PG-13 is Vince's fault. You've kept changing the company. People don't know what to believe. So for you to point out that Raw should be edgy, SmackDown should be like the little comic relief part, and then Saturday Morning Slam should be TV Y, you said, or 14?
No, because, I mean, have you ever seen the Saturday Morning Show? I mean,
I've watched it. I like the part where Mick Foley came out and just started making matches. Instead of all that talking and, you know, pointing out shit, that should have just happened from the beginning. But this goes back to what I was saying, I think, about either a couple months ago when I last called in, or like a year ago when I called in and I said something about Heat. They should never got rid of Heat. All these little small shows, hour or a half an hour shows, kind of remind you of Heat.
Mm-hmm.
So you should never got rid of the concept. If you really just wanted comic relief, the Heat was all you needed.
Exactly.
Start cutting better promos, and we don't need any of these shows at all. Really, they're wasting money in production because these shows mean absolutely nothing. But I kind of now to fully look at what you were saying, I kind of agree with the setup.
Yeah. Because their first Saturday morning show, I was like, well, let me see what this show's all about. Their first show, they send Kofi up there, and he's like, well, today, kids, we're going to talk about extreme history, true history. And he started talking about what Steve Austin did, and do you know how to count to five? And I was like, what is this, Dora the Explorer?
Dora the Explorer. No, she that's another subject.
Yeah, Cena came out and he did some stuff, and I mean, he was just like, well, kid, science is an ingredient to something, and I don't know. And he just went on, and I was like, they're really, really dragging this on. And it's going to be sad to say, and you won't believe me, but it's true. I turned around, looked at the clock, and I said, damn, they're going to go to a commercial? It was only 5 minutes after the show started. I said, all that crap about, you know, telling people about Steve Austin's history, and then with John Cena doing what he did, trying to be a science teacher or something, took all of 5 minutes, and now they're going to commercial? Good grief. This is like for two-year-olds. So, yeah. Hey, real quick, AJ. They're trying to get rid of this Fandango character now. How do you see them doing that?
Should never introduce him. Just take him off television. Make him some excuse that he got injured.
Well, because a lot of people are pissed off that he made WrestleMania. They're like, how did he get a WrestleMania spot?
They're trying to. I don't even know. If you want to give anybody a WrestleMania spot, why not Cody Rhodes? Is he in WrestleMania by any chance? I haven't seen the card. Like I said, I haven't watched. Oh man, I have to get back on the bandwagon.
Yeah, Fandango. Give me a break.
No, now see, I heard about him back by what? Now see, that's I was watching a main event, and this is how I found out about Fandango. Because you know, on regular television, you can't watch SmackDown anymore. Although I have cable, I don't choose to watch SmackDown or TNA or Raw. Raw, I can't catch because I'm too busy in school. But I can watch it on YouTube, and I plan on doing that in a little bit. And thank God I didn't hear what happened on Raw this week. But the character itself, when I personally seen it, I didn't like it. So I'm like, this Fandango. What the fuck? This is pretty, you know, it's not out of the box and it's not unique at all. It's just, and I'm not saying this to be smart to anybody, but I think it's just gay. It doesn't fit wrestling. no offense to gay people. I have nothing against them or towards them. But it's just gay.
You're just using the gay terminology.
Right. It's nothing towards gay people. I absolutely respect them. But the whole concept should not have been done. If you're going to do something different. Don't be dumb about it.
Yeah, you're right. And speaking of different, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much. Thank you, AJ. We're going to end our show differently. You know, this is our birthday bash, and this is the birthday bash song for all of you. And, hey, AJ, before we go, aren't you going to say something important to me that relates to Sunday?
Oh, so it relates to Sunday. To you? Yes, it's Mayhem Sports Anniversary. Yes, I swear to God, I'm so fucking hyped. Because only for 30 minutes will you ever sit up here and listen to my voice ever fuck again on Mayhem Sports. I'm going to plug it. I'm going to keep plugging it. Mayhem Sports Anniversary is this Sunday, March 31st. And guess what? It's the anniversary from just 5 years ago. Years ago, 2008. Happy birthday, Matt.
Thank you. I really... Coffee, this is all your fault. I have no choice but to turn 30 on Sunday. Oh, well. I'll live with it.
How's the coffee's fault?
I don't know. I should have blamed you, but in the end, you have nothing to do with it either. Nobody does. Nobody has anything to do with it. It's all on me. I'm just glad I made it. Take care, everyone. Take care, AJ. I've got plans tonight. I've got to go to Red Robin, and then we're going to go see The Call. It should be a good movie.
Oh, man.
She's your much older girlfriend, Halle Berry. Never seen her in that role before. It's going to be interesting.
I'd kill myself if that was my girlfriend. I'm sorry. The bitch is too crazy.
All right, people. Take care. Peace. Happy Easter, everyone.
Birdseye.